You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
The purpose of this series can best be explained watching this. Take a look at this clip.
Can I help you? Name, please.
Seinfeld, you made a reservation for a mid-size, and she's a small. I'm kidding around, of course.
Yes. Okay, let's see here. Oh, I'm sorry, we have no mid-size available at the moment.
I don't understand, I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Oh, yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservations.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. See, you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them.
Let me speak with my supervisor.
Here we go.
I absolutely love that right there. Now, I want to take the principle that we just saw there and apply it here inside of this scripture. And John 14:15. If you got your Bibles, we're going to hang out in John 14 here throughout this series. We've got it for you on the app. If you're following along with us in the message on our JC app, do that there. If we got the scripture for you on the screen. But John chapter 14 and verse 15. And we're going to focus on verse 15, but I'm just going to keep reading until the Spirit says stop, all right? And so I've got the rest of the chapter on the screen just in case. So, Skylar, follow along with me as good as you can, brother. Verse 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me," everybody say if. And it's important that we see that first word right there. Because Christ is saying, if, meaning that there is a condition to love. Love, according to Christ, carries with it evidence so that you will know if it's really love or not. And if you don't see this evidence, which Jesus is getting ready to say, you'll know whether or not it's love. He says, if you love me, and here's the evidence, you will keep, everybody say keep, my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, he said. My goodness, let's just marinate on that one for a second. He says, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Verse 22 says, then Judas, not talking about Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, but another Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus, to respond as if you don't understand what I'm trying to say, says, anyone. This is not an indiscriminate type of love here. He says, anyone who loves me, anyone who runs head on into my teaching and chooses to love me will obey that teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. This is powerful what he's getting ready to say. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Some people wonder how it is that the disciples were able to write Matthew, how was Matthew was able to write Matthew, and how Mark was able to write Mark and Luke. How many know it's the Holy Spirit that brought to remembrance every single word, every single thing that happened to them, that they heard. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens. So when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you. For the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. But he has come so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Let's pray. Wow, God, you're amazing. And there is so much that we just read there that it would take a lifetime to fully understand. And Father, I pray that you guide me. I pray every word I speak, as we navigate through your word, God, to illustrate the truths, God, found inside of your word, for your word is truth. God, let it go right to our hearts. God, as we hear, as much as the passion we have to hear, God, let us live out that which we take in here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. We just read 16 verses of scripture. And with all that we read, do you kind of see a theme through which we just read? Like a repeated phrase or two in this text? Because I noticed it when the Lord was taking me to the latter half of chapter 14 here. Because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but six different times inside of 16 verses of this one conversation, we see the phrase, or a slight variation of the phrase, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Or, "If you love me, obey my teaching." Or, "If you love me, do what I say." You see that six different times in one conversation. Rarely do we see Jesus repeating himself that much in one conversation concerning a principle that he's trying to teach. And four times we see him telling us that we have the Holy Spirit, who he calls our advocate, this resource to your faith, available to you, available in you to help you do this one very important thing that he repeats for the love of God six different times, again, in one conversation. Do what I say. Keep my commandments. Keep my word, and I will know you love me. This June, our church will be 9 years old. And even more than that, I've looked ahead to next June. We'll be a decade old at Journey Church. And I can't help but regularly reflect on the past, especially around the turn of the year. Like, I always just look back in times of meditation and prayer. And, you know, toward the last quarter of 2017, I just spent a lot of time in prayer just reflecting back on our past as the pastor of this church. And can I tell you, my goodness, there are so many things I love in the context. I don't even know if I could number them all. In the context of what God has done behind us in what we have experienced, things that literally bring tears of thanksgiving down my face in the positive and impactful moments that sit behind us in our near 9-year history as Journey Church. My goodness, God is good. But I'd be lying if I didn't say there have not been things in our history that have brought pain and anguish to my heart and my call as a pastor of this church. The primary of them being seeing amazing people come into our family, come into this place, and make a commitment to love Christ with their life, only to see that commitment turn dim, phase out, and fizzle away. And we don't see them anymore. There have been people that I've seen that used to sit in these seats here that disappeared, and I never knew where they went. That months later, I saw responding to an altar call in Vandalia at the prison. With shame on their face, as if to say, I'm sorry. And please don't take me as putting us on blast here with what I'm saying. Like this is just a Journey Church problem. Because with every pastor I talk to, and I talk to a lot, this happens everywhere. Where we have in the church a significant portion, a significant amount of people who simply don't keep the commands of God in their life, that simply don't keep the call of God in their life. They lay it aside. They set it aside for some reason or other. And I, along with every pastor again that I know and talk to, I mean, I go to prayer. I know they go to prayer too about this. And I plead to God on their behalf. God, do something. Please do something. Can you just make them love you? You ever prayed that prayer before for somebody? I know I've got some moms and dads that have prayed that for kids. And even some kids that pray that for moms and dads or brothers. God, can you just make them love you? Can you just make them follow you? Can you just do your God thing and just somehow forcefully influence them to be faithful? I mean, come on. Even Seinfeld gets it. You know how to take a reservation. You just don't know how to hold a reservation. That commitment to something means staying true to that something. That if you're going to tell God, I give you my life, then we should at the very least be doing just that. Giving him our life and keeping our life in the hands of the one we originally committed it to. Would you say a good amen to that truth? And so... back to my reflection time. As a pastor, I'm praying with tears for this problem to be solved, for this issue to be fixed. And don't take me the wrong way here when I say this, but I just don't care about the numerical growth of this church. So much as I care deeply about the spiritual growth in your life. And it's not that numerical growth isn't important, because it is. You see that all the time in the Bible, that there were numbers. I mean, God wrote a book called Numbers. He cares about numbers. Would you, come on, somebody say a corny amen. I know it's corny, but back to the end of 2017, when I was praying for 2018, I told the Lord this and I asked him, what must we do as a church, God, to be able to keep your commands in our lives? Because I'm tired of seeing it not happen. in the lives of a significant amount of people. And how many would say even one is too many? I'm tired of it, God. It aches. It brings anguish and pain. And what do we got to do, God? And the Lord responded. It was a powerful time of prayer that I had. And the Lord responded to me, beginning with this one word. He said this. And I heard him clear in my heart. He said this: wholeness. Wholeness. He didn't say anything else after that. So I did the best I could. So I do a steward of what you just led. So I started digging into wholeness. Found it all throughout Scripture. I don't know if you know the biblical definition of wholeness or not. I didn't know. I've heard it before, but I didn't know it. Here's the biblical definition of wholeness: the state of being unbroken or undamaged. Now remember, this is in reply to my question, Lord, what do we got to do to be able to keep your word? And he said wholeness, the state of being unbroken or undamaged. He said to me, they cannot keep my word because of the broken areas in their lives. And I'm like, okay. And the Lord gave me a visual in my mind's eye to illustrate what he was saying. And I'm so thankful to our staff for making this visual possible for us to see here today. Because as he was telling me this, hear me today, I was seeing this right here. I was seeing us as these clay pots. Now, for those of you that are like, that's weird, I didn't think it was that weird. Because, I mean, you see this several times referenced throughout Scripture. That Scripture equates you and I as clay vessels, as clay pots. I mean, we were made from earthen clay. Isaiah 64 says, you are the potter, I am the clay, right? Equating this to us being on the potter's wheel. I saw you and I as clay pots. And I was seeing his word, or should I say, you know, his command for our lives as pitchers of water being poured in to our lives. In other words, when God is telling us to do something, in other words, when he is giving us a commandment, our responsibility is to keep that commandment. Would you say a good amen? John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. Now, that word keep in the Greek, Scott, I don't know if you got that, you can put that up. It's the Greek word tereo, T-E-R-E-O, which literally translates to hold inside of. Watch me here. You see, when we see, hear me now, when we hear, when we receive God's word, it is our responsibility to hold inside of our lives, to hold that command inside of our lives, inside of our minds, inside of our hearts. We are to hold on to that which we take in, so that we can allow that truth, so that we can allow that commandment that we are receiving, that we are taking in, so that we can allow it inside of our hearts, so that it can transform us at the heart, so that we can have an experience at the soul level with that truth, with that commandment. Because if we don't keep it inside, if we don't hold on to it, we can't have an experience with it. How many know this right here is God's will for us? Right here. But to take in and keep that which the Lord pours in. But the Lord showed me this concerning those of us who do not keep the commands of God, who are not able to keep his commandments. Because it's not a receiving problem that we have. Let me go silent. We can all receive. It's not a problem with taking the reservation. It's a problem of holding the reservation, right? It's not a problem of taking in the commandment of God. It's not a problem of receiving the word of God. The problem lies in our ability to hold the word of God inside of us, because we can all take in and receive the commands of God a little bit. I mean, we can all do that. Whether it's in a Sunday morning, hearing the word of God in a message, or whether it's Tuesday night, and you're in bed and you just pick up the word of God and you start receiving it through reading it. Some of you, this is what God showed me. I don't know if you can see this, but some of you have holes, broken areas, if you would. Isn't that what this is? Broken areas. Areas where there is not wholeness, right? This is a damaged area. Some of us have holes, these broken areas inside of our life that are causing, watch me now, the command of God to leak out and to not be kept. For instance, let me give you a for instance. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you," and let's all say these next three words together, "love one another just as I have loved you." Let me say it again. "A new commandment I give you," Jesus says, "that you are to love one another just as I have loved you." You, how many know that is a command of God that He has called us to keep? But if you have hate and bitterness and unforgiveness sitting and taking up residence inside of your heart and inside of your life, then those very areas in your life are going to cause that very command of God to leak out of your life, causing you to eliminate any opportunity you would have to have an experience with that command. We have holes, and God commands us to be whole. Does that make sense? Are you still tracking? You see, because I was seeing this right here. I was seeing this as clear as day in this visual that I was experiencing in prayer with the Lord. And as I was seeing this contrast between the one who keeps the command and the one who doesn't keep the command, and the mess that surrounded the one that doesn't keep. If you only saw what I saw here, because our cleaning team right now is looking at me like, really? Couldn't have put a bucket anywhere? Nope. Because I want this to be illustrated. Sin and brokenness are absolutely destructive in their abilities. Hear me. To prevent spiritual progress in your life. Sin and brokenness are absolutely powerful in their ability to ruin blessing inside of your life, to ruin God's word from having an ability to manifest in your life. I mean, Ephesians chapter 3, right? God has called us to live a life of what? Abundance, overflow, right? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly what? Above all, and what's the reference we get here inside of that? We see the abundant life. My cup running over. My cup is running. You see this water coming out over the brim. And I think on those scriptures, and I'm like, how are we supposed to get to an area of overflow when we can't even get the word of God to the stinking brim? We can't even get it to the level where we're living it out. And we're praying for overflow. Maybe we need to change our prayers before we start praying to overflow, and we got to start praying for wholeness, because wholeness is the route to overflow. I don't know if you saw this when you came in, but there were cards in the seats. Can I have one? Thank you, Jamin. And I want you, if you would, just to grab this for a second. It's a piece of cardstock. And it says the holes in my life. And here's what I want to encourage you to do, because this is for you. I want to encourage you throughout the course of this series, because this is a mandate on my heart as your pastor, for we as the church, for us to, watch me, allow the Holy Spirit to identify the holes in our lives that are causing the commands of God to leak out of our lives, that are preventing us from keeping, holding inside the commands of God for our lives. And I want to encourage you to either let this serve to be a reminder for you or bring this with you every single week and just write on it anywhere. Like if God says you got a hole and maybe it's lust or maybe it's anger and hate and like whatever it is and whoever it is. Sometimes people can be a hole, right? Whatever it is, you write those things down front or back and say, Holy Spirit, lead me throughout this series on what it is that I need to do, and take notes. I'm telling you, take notes. It's important to take notes in church. You want to know why? This right here. What is this but a prayer journal that Isaiah kept, that Malachi kept, that John? Listen, it's very important that we understand that. That if I were to give Micah $100, which I am not. If I were to give Micah $100, it would be foolish for Micah just to take that $100 and just put it somewhere else. Just throw it somewhere. I'll get it sometime. What Micah would do if I gave him $100, I know him. He would fold that thing up perfect. He'd pull out his wallet and he'd put it right in a place and he would know where it is at all times, because it's something valuable that's been given to him. We got to see that even when it comes on Sundays with sermons. Like, this is the Word of God, the most valuable thing we could ever get. What do we do? I think sometimes we just, I'll remember it. Can I tell you this? You ain't going to remember it. Here's the example. Tell me three things that I said 2 weeks ago in that message on Saturday night, for those of you who were there. Three things. Most people, you're like, I'm the one that preached it. I'm having trouble bringing it up. Right? Because that's why notes are so very important. We can re-reference that which God spoke to us in that day. How many times do we see in the Word of God, he's saying, remember my word. Do not forget my word, my commands for your life. But allow God, back to the sheet, to speak to you on what it is. Because maybe the hole in your life that God's going to, through the Holy Spirit, identify in your life, may not even be attached to the talk, but he's going to bring it to your mind. That's his job, right? Isn't that what Jesus said four different times in John 14? That he's the advocate, the what? The helper. And that whole verse is about wholeness. So his job is to let you know. And when he lets you know that whole, write it down. And in this series, though, I want to tell you, I went to prayer hardcore along with a team of people. And in this series, we are going to identify five holes. We're not going to do that today. Today's message has served to be completely introductory, so we're not digging into identifying any of these holes. But in this series, we are going to identify five holes that I believe are plaguing the lives of many, many, many believers, and perhaps many even in this room. And the first hole that we're going to talk about is the whole of destructive appetites. We're going to talk about how to have a hunger for God. Because I've heard people say, in respected honesty to me, I just can't find a way to hunger for God. Like, I feel like I have to, against my own will and desires, force myself to pray and force myself to come to church and force myself to read my Bible. I just don't have a hunger. We're going to talk about that. Could it be the very thing that's causing that hunger to leak out is what else you're hungering for? We're going to talk about the whole of destructive appetites. And the next week, we're going to talk about the whole of narcissism. I don't know if you know what that word means, but let me just say it in plain English. Selfishness. How many know somebody like this? Nobody look around. Amen. We're going to talk about narcissism. We're going to talk about the whole of inconsistency. Because I believe a big problem we have in the context of our commitment is the consistency we have. Or should I say lack thereof. Whether it's a weight loss or whether it's your prayer life or a goal or a dream, the whole of inconsistency so often is the route from which those things leak out. We're going to talk about the whole of poverty mindsets. So many people, and this is just one way to look at this. So many people just default to bad outcomes. We just default to bad outlooks. Like the world's falling apart. It's how it always happens. Poverty mindset. And can I tell you that mindset is a hole that is causing the very prosperity of God to leak out of your life. We're going to talk about, lastly, the whole of being not mission-minded. And that message will be one for the books, I assure you. But wrapping up our talk today, I want to encourage you to be a part of the talks that are in front of us. Be with us through this series. And I assure you that your life will change dramatically and powerfully. And hear me today. Like seriously, hear me. Hey, no matter the hole, there is help. I want you to know that. No matter the hole, there is help. You want to know how I know that? Because there's a helper. There's a helper. Four times Jesus says that. You got a helper in the Holy Spirit. God is full of so much grace to patch these areas of brokenness in our lives. And that's what we're going to do even through this series. We're going to get a trowel and some grit. We're going to patch this baby right here to allow the water to be held inside of it. His heart for you is wholeness. You know, I love Psalm 23. I love it. You know, and so often we're accustomed to quoting it. I remember having our boys memorize that chapter, and it, you know, starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? What does he say after that? "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Verse 3 says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I love verse 3 there. You know, it says, "He restoreth my soul." But I was digging into that. What that translates to be. And unfortunately, I mean, again, the King James was one of the first translations of the Bible, so they did the best they could to try and translate the Hebrew language. But, you know, one of the translations that have it most accurate is a translation called the Voice Translation, because I dug into the Hebrew. And check out what the Voice Translation says of verse 3 of Psalm 23. I love this. "He makes me whole again. Steering me off worn, hard paths." Anybody ever taken a hard path sometimes, detour off of the road? It says he steers me off of those things to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. I love that it says he makes me whole what? Again. Because he knows that we will find, you and I, regular opportunity in our life where sin will win the situation or the circumstance. Sometimes sin wins in a situation or a circumstance. And you know what? After that, we find ourselves broken with a hole, spilling out the very commands that Christ called us to keep. But verse 3 of Psalm 23 tells me that because of his grace, he can make me whole again. And some of you may even see these holes more than just holes. Some of you are like, "Those holes are bullet holes, man." Like you've been shot by a situation or a circumstance. Maybe somebody did something to you and has caused this hole to be in your life. You say, yeah, I've got this hole, but it's not my fault, preacher. Yeah, the situation that happened may not be your fault, but hear me today. What you do with that hurt is completely up to you. Completely up to you. Let God make you whole again.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.